We started our series with that question, do you love? And as we've moved through this series, like we said, that even in the opening video there, it's talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and what love is. And so oftentimes we throw that word around. Like I said, we talk about it a good bit. We use it. We love all kinds of things. We say we love that car. We love my phone. We love that TV show. We talk about love a lot. And we use it. And I think the word gets misused and kind of probably gets misapplied in a lot of ways. But love is something that is key. And we're going to see today, and actually it really started last week with what Tommy taught you when we were talking about the greatest commandments. The great commandment that we see in Scripture where Jesus kind of questioned. And so today we're going to take a look at that. And if you've got your outlines, you can take those out and kind of follow along with my train of thinking. But love is critical, and it's the key to the message that Christ brings. So last week, you guys started in a passage here. It's Matthew 22, 35 through 40, or 34 through 40, I think it is. But it says, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. And one of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with his question. It says, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. That's what we see that Tommy addressed last week, that we're to love God with everything that's in us. And then this is key again as well. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. And so there's a couple of things here that we see is Jesus says, hey, the most important thing, the greatest commandment, and you guys should know this is what he's saying. He's saying, hey, listen, you should know this, but the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with everything that's in you. That if you love God, it begins to put everything else in place, everything else in order. And so he's saying, main thing is to love God. And last week, I know Tommy shared with you a little bit about what that looks like. But we love God first, but we love because God first loved us, or he loved us. 1 John 4:9. But here's what Tommy covered last week. I just want to kind of hit it. How do I keep the great commandments? The first one, anyway, is to love God with all my heart. I give him my what? What was it? Does anybody remember? Worship. They may have already thrown it up there, but anyway, it was worship. That's right. All right, so I give him my worship. And so what is worship? And Tommy, I'm sure, covered that. But here's the thing is worship is we are pouring out our exaltations. We're pouring out our praise. We are honoring him. You know, there's things that we bow down and we worship. And sometimes, hopefully, prayerfully, it is only God. But there are times that we let other things get in the way. Maybe it's material things. We worship our possessions. We worship our spouse. We worship our kids. We live in a time and a culture where there's probably more kid worship than there's ever been. We worship their grades. We worship their accomplishments. We worship everything about them. And so what happens is we give our worship not to God, but we give it to something else. And so if we really want to love God with everything that is in us, we really want to love him with our heart, we've got to give him our worship. He needs to be number one. Not just somewhere nicely on the list, not kind of making the top 10, but he needs to be first and foremost. And so when we love God with everything that's in us, especially our heart, man, it moves us and we are stirred to the point of worship. And so when we sing songs and we sing songs that maybe are new songs to us and we read those lyrics and we hear those lyrics, we're moved by what those words are saying back to the God that we serve and the God that we have given our heart to. The second thing, it says to love God with all of my soul. If to love God with all of my soul, I give him my what? Obedience. Billy, did you write down all the answers? You the only one that got the answers? All right, so obedience. Obedience is doing what we've been told. It's following the letter of what God has said. And so if God tells you to move on something, it's saying, God, I trust you. God, I move in obedience. I was listening to, looking at some of the lyrics to one of the songs, and it was talking about following him and trusting him. And there's obedience. This morning was we shared, this morning we were praying together as a team, like we always do. And one of the young men asked for prayer for his sister who's going into a foreign land as a missionary this summer. And he said, you know, just pray for her as she goes, but she feels like that's what God's told her to do. And so even though it may not be the most safe place in the world, she's going. And so that's called obedience. God spoke to her. He put it on her heart to go, and she's going. She's trusting God to raise the finances. She's trusting God to provide the resources. But she's going because she felt like God told her to go. And so here's the thing is God tells us to do a lot of things in Scripture. He tells us to worship him in truth and in spirit, that we are to do those things. And oftentimes we worship him with a mixed mind. Sometimes we're thinking about everything else. We're worried about what's going to happen after here. We're going like, how long is this going to take? You know, are we going to be out of here? Am I going to get out of here in time to go to lunch? Am I going to beat the crowd? Or whatever. And so what happens is our worship is not focused and our obedience is not always focused. A lot of times our obedience is I always tell my boys, delayed obedience is still disobedience. If you ask your kids to do something and they say, I'll get it later, or they just do it later, still disobedience. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. God tells you to do something. He leads you to do something. He presses it on your heart. He says, hey, I want you to bless that family over there. I want you to provide for them. I want you to go take them a meal and go, you know what, I'm going to do that. And it gets put off and put off. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. So God, the way that we honor Him and we love Him with all of our soul is that we are like, yes. You know, God, no matter what you ask, the answer is yes. I will go, I'll move, I'll do what you ask. And the third thing is to love God with all of my mind. I give Him my what? Thank you. That's awesome right there. I like that. That's right. You give Him all of our focus. And so that He is the focus of our life. He's not just somewhere, like I said, somewhere on the list, but He is the focus. It's not like the last thing that we ask is, hey, you know, I wonder what God would say. One of the things that we say and that we teach as elders here is when a question comes up, the very first thing we go to is God's Word. In other words, that is where our answers are at. This is the blueprint for life. This is our manual for living, if you would. So if a question comes up or something is, hey, what does the Bible tell us how we should respond? To our focus becomes the Word of God. And so to love God is to love His Word. We need to love His Word. We need to love Him. And so we want to have that focus of focusing on the Word of God, focusing on the truth of His promises. Yesterday, we had a sweet, dear lady in our church who passed away last night about 5:30 or 6 o'clock, Miss Pauline Worthy, who has been one of our ushers. Many of you have probably seen her greet you right back here at this back door. Sweet, always had a beautiful smile. And it grieved our spirit to see her leave this world. But you know what? The promise that we stand on is the promise of God's Word. And so even there, in that time of grieving, that time of losing Miss Pauline, we stood on the promises and claim the promises of His Word that we'll see her again one day. And so how cool for Mr. Charles, who is also one of our greeters, who stands back here in the back and cares for everyone and serves everyone, is for him to be able to stand on those promises and to have peace that passes understanding in the midst of loss because of the promises of God. And so he was able to focus on God and what His promises are and what His promises have told us. And so those are some of the things that we covered last week. Tommy covered those with you last week. About loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And so if we truly love God, we're to do those things. We're to love Him with everything that's in us. And that's the greatest commandment. Jesus said, hey, this is the greatest commandment. Everybody was in agreement. And then here He says, and this is what we're going to focus on today, says a second is equally important. All right, so I don't know if you know what equal means, but it's like if this one weighs this much, then this one weighs this much. In other words, if this one carries this much weight, this one carries this much weight. But Jesus says the second one is equally important. That's kind of important for Him to throw that in there. He could have said, and there's a second one, but He didn't just leave it there, but He said it's equally important. And so I want you to understand, but how you love your neighbor is just as important as how you love your God. It's just as important as how you love the people around you as it is how you love your God. Because if you truly love the God of the universe, if you truly love the God who spoke all things into existence, if you truly love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, then here's the thing is you're going to love the people around you because He loves them. Because the more that we love Him, the more that we begin to understand who He is and how He is and His focus and His attention, His affections, we begin to have those same affections. And so we tend to love the people that He loves so much. Rather than always looking for something that's wrong with them and tearing them down and talking about them and trying to shame them and all these things, we begin to see them the way that He sees them. One of our prayers that we often pray around here is, God, help us to see people as You see them. And God, help us to love people as You love them. Because see, naturally, that's not the tendency. But He says the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the people around you as you love yourself. Now, some of you in this room struggle with that one. And then look, this is really key, too. There's a couple of major things here. It says the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. All that the prophets have said and spoke and taught are based on these two commandments. And so, like I said, here's two important statements here to grasp. Love your neighbor as yourself, and the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So I don't know if you can kind of get your mind around that, but that's kind of a big deal. It's not something that we can kind of flippantly go through and just say, okay, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said the most important one was the greatest commandment was to love God with everything that's in you. And then he said the second one was equally as important, just as important. He says to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, we get it. All right, let's move on. It's kind of hard to move on when you read that next statement. That everything in the Old Testament, everything in all the law, everything that they were teaching, everything that they were pointing out, everything that they were trying to get people to understand is caught up in these two things. And so if we miss that, we have missed the key to the Old Testament, if you will. And so Jesus is saying, listen, hey, this is huge here. This is important. And so he puts this incredible, I guess you could just say, importance upon these two statements. Now think about this too. Jesus had more authority than anybody ever will. He is fully God, yet fully man. And he says, with all the authority that's in him to these people, hey, everything that was in the law, everything that these guys taught, everything that the prophets had to say, pointed to these two things. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. With all of you got, all that you've got. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two most important things that you can walk away with. He said everything in the Old Testament, everything there was pointing to this. And it's love. Love your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Let's see, the thing that we forget sometimes is the message of Christ is love. And so when we ask, do you love as a Christian, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, that you have to get your mind around it and say, you know what, do I love people? Or am I always looking to try to condemn them or to tear them down or to belittle them or to shame them? Or do I look for what I don't like in people rather than what God sees in them? Let's look at this passage here out of Matthew 7:12. It says, do to others what you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. Do we see that again? And so again, Jesus is saying here, you know, listen, something you need to understand. If you wonder what it's all about, it's about loving others. And here we call it the golden rule. It says, do to others what you would like them to do to you. In other words, how you treat them, how you love them, how you show affection to them, how you care for them, how you serve them, and how you love them with the love of God. It's how you will be treated. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law of the prophets. So the statement here, it says, so loving others is the outward manifestation, the visible expression, the practical demonstration, and therefore the fulfillment of what the Old Testament is about. So loving others is what we need to get our mind around. You know, a few weeks ago, when I was here, we talked about what is love. And so I want us to look back, and it won't be in the notes or anything, but we talked on what love is. And so we read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, if you will. And so I just want to read it again. I want to remind you what it says. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And he just got through talking about all the spiritual gifts and how important they are, but he also said, you know what? They're not that important. What's most important is love. And so this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He's saying, love is what it's about. It's about loving people. He says, well, if I can do all this with all these spiritual gifts, it's really just a clanging cymbal. And I don't know if you remember, but it's kind of like going up to a temple where they serve false gods and you would bang on a cymbal out front to wake up the spirits. He said, that's how useless and how stupid it seems to have that gift and not love people. He said, if I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such a faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body and could boast about it but didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So in verse 4, this is what he says. He goes, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. He says, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. When I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we shall see everything with perfect clarity. And all that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. And three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And so we see that over and over and over. Jesus talking about love God, love people. Love God, love people. And then what we do is we get that mixed up, and we start thinking it's about being good enough, and we start thinking about being religious enough and all these things. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's about a relationship with God and loving Him and wanting to serve Him and wanting to live in such a way that you bring honor and glory and praise to His name. And then fulfilling His mission of loving people. I mean, Jesus, God loved the world so much that He sent His only Son. We call it John 3:16. And so it's us loving people and caring about what's going on in their lives. There's a passage here out of Romans chapter 13. It says, owe nothing. It says, love fulfills God's requirements. It says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Here Jesus is bringing it up again. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. And again, here Jesus is saying, listen, love is what fulfills the requirements of the Old Testament law, if you would. So let me ask you, do you love? And whenever you read that, it's real easy to say, you know, what is love? Well, I just got through reading out of chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what love is. And so let me read it one more time and see if we can get that again. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so listen to it again and ask yourself, do I love? Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And so is that you? And are you a picture of the love of Christ being lived out in this broken world? Do you love people? Do you care about them? And so here's a couple of questions we need to ask. It says, what if you don't love yourself? Because if we look back up at the passage, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. So we know that we're supposed to love. We know that we're supposed to love others. But let me just say this, that if we don't love ourselves, then, you know, we're struggling from the get-go. So what if you don't love yourself? Here's the thing that happens. We've often believed the lies of others, ourselves, and even Satan. And so what happens is we believe the lies of someone who tells us, hey, you know what, you're not really worth anything. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never accomplish anything. You'll always be a loser. You'll always be whatever. And we begin to believe those lies, and all of a sudden we don't like ourselves anymore. And we get to the point where we don't like ourselves at all. We don't like what we look like. We don't like how we talk. We don't like the education. We don't like the background that we come out of. We don't like our family situation. We don't like anything about us. And so how can we love others with this love of God if we don't love ourselves? Now, I didn't say that we're to be selfish or anything like that, but we're to love who we are. And so sometimes we struggle with that one. You know, how can I love others the way that I love myself if I don't love myself? How can I love God, who I'm created in His image, if I don't love myself? And so we believe the lies of others. Other people tell us things. We tell ourselves lies. We look in the mirror and we say certain things about us. We tear ourselves down. We make fun of ourselves. We're ashamed of who we are. And so we believe those lies. And here's Satan. He's just feeding you lie after lie. He's the father of all lies, is what Scripture says. And he keeps telling you all these things that you can't do. He keeps telling you all this junk about you. And you begin to believe those lies. And all of a sudden, you don't love yourself. So how in the world can you love others if you don't love you? If the Bible says the second greatest commandment is to love others the way you love yourself. And so if you're loving people the way that you love yourself, then that's the reason it's all jacked up. It's because you don't love yourself. You don't like anything about you. Look at the second statement. It says, we are made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. God would literally take dust from the ground, and he would gather this dust in his hands, and he would literally breathe his own breath into the lungs and the nostrils of Adam and bring life there. And it says that he was created in the image of God. We are created in the image of God. Psalms 139 says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That he has knit us together in the secret place in the mother's womb. That he has shaped us and molded us and put us together the way that he desires. So we are created in the image of God. And if we don't love ourselves, we're saying that we really don't love God. We're saying, God, you messed up. You know, you blew it on me. And I know y'all probably remember, you know, the little shirts and t-shirts and stuff we'd say where God don't make no junk. A little kid sitting there. There's a lot of truth to that. God doesn't make any junk and he doesn't make any mistakes. So many of us were shaped and we're molded and we're put together just the way that he desires. Now, have we made bad choices? Have we made bad decisions? Have we done some things that go against him and his teaching and his will? Absolutely. And those things will cost us. Those things will separate. So what we've got to get our mind around is, you know, what if I don't love myself? How can I love God who I'm created in his image? So every time that I think about God, do I think about what I'm like because I'm created in his image? And every time that I think about loving others, I can't love them because it says to love them as you love yourself. And I don't like the way, I don't love me at all. So we are made in the image of God, so we ought to love ourselves. We should love ourselves because God loves us. We said a while ago that Jesus is fully God, but yet what? Fully man, right? And so Jesus, who is fully God, yet fully man, loves us. And so if we claim that we are followers of Christ, if we claim that we are Christians, if we claim that we have asked Christ to come and live within us, and we want him to rule and to reign in our life and to lead us to understanding, to lead us into a right relationship with God the Father, then we've got to be willing to say, you know what, I want to live like Jesus did. That's the old WWJD. I want, what would Jesus do? All right, well, I want to live like Jesus did. And here's the thing is, Jesus is telling us that God loves us. Jesus is saying that he loves us so much that he's willing to go to the cross for us. And so if Jesus loves us like that, then we who claim to follow him have got to be willing to love ourselves. See, the only way that we'll ever get to the point of being able to love other people and loving God is when we finally get to the point where we love ourselves. And we realize, you know what, that I am of value. And that God loves me. He loves me. In spite of my imperfections, in spite of my bad decisions, in spite of my sinful nature, in spite of my flesh, God loves me. And I hope everybody in this room, you can get your mind around that. God loves you. And I think sometimes because of how our earthly father does, or because of things that we've seen here in this broken earth, what we do is we begin to see God in a way that maybe we see things down here. But see, he is a loving father. He is a forgiving father. He is a caring father. And he loves you. And even in your brokenness, even in your sinfulness, he loves you. Even before you ever put your faith in him, he loved you. And he sent his son Jesus to die for you. He sent his son Jesus to die for you and to pay for your sins and to pay for your brokenness and pay for your sins that you had committed, your transgressions. He sent his son because he loved you so much, he let his son go to the cross instead of you. And so if we cannot love ourselves, we'll never be able to truly love him completely. And we'll never be able to love the people around us that he has put around us. And he said that he wants us to be an influence in their life. We'll never be able to love them the way that we love ourselves if we don't love ourselves at all. A statement there just says, I just don't think we can genuinely love others without genuinely loving ourselves. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you, if you're being honest, say, you know what, man, I have struggled my whole life with loving me. I've always wanted to be somebody else. I've always wanted to look different. I've always wanted to be skinny, or I wanted curly hair instead of straight hair. I wanted straight hair instead of curly hair. You know, because we're always, whatever somebody else has got is what we want. So how many of you have ever really struggled with that to the point of where your self-esteem is low? And so here's the thing that happens a lot of times is because we don't like who we are, we don't like anybody else. And see, they've done a lot of study of murderers and thieves and of rapists, and most of them hate who they are. And a lot of times it's because of how they were treated or abused or whatever. And so they take that hate out on the people around them. And so they go against this very law here. They go against the commandments that we read there that Jesus was pointing out. They go against all of that because they have this hate of themselves. And so they take that hate out on the people around them. They have this hate towards who they are. And so they take that hate out on the people around. But see, Jesus, whenever he comes in, if we have love in here and we begin to love who we are, we begin to understand that, you know what, we're to love people the way that we love ourselves. And if you've ever been around somebody that does that, they understand it. So selfishness and loving who you are in Christ are polar opposites. You might be thinking, well, you know, and some of y'all might think, well, you know, I love myself, you know. Now that can be pride and ego as well. You know, you can think a little bit too highly of yourself. Scripture addresses that as well. It tells us not to think too highly of ourselves. So here's the thing is we've got to make sure that, you know, we're walking a line there. And we say, you know, I don't want to be selfish. And I don't want to be self-consumed. And I don't want to be self-absorbed. Those are things that become the flesh. And they get in the wrong list, if you would. But the thing is we're to love ourselves, love who we are in Christ. See, for me, I grew up insecure. I grew up believing the lies of other people. Believing the lies of people that I loved and respected. Things that they would say would stick. And so I grew up with these insecurities. And I remember just being real insecure as a young child growing up. And even insecure as a teenager. Not wanting to go anywhere by myself. You know, walking, and I've shared this before, walking in front of a football stadium, man, would just make me nervous, you know. And my biggest fear in life is getting up in front of people. That was my biggest fear in life. I remember taking low grades on oral reports just because I didn't want to have to get up in front of people. And so it's one of those things where you go, you know, only God can change that. And he can. And he can change anything about us. But we've got to be willing to submit and surrender to who he is. And then here's the other thing, is submit and surrender to even how he looks at us and how he loves us. And then begin to see ourselves differently. Whenever my self-esteem began to change is whenever I began to understand who I was in Christ, not who someone else said I was, not even who I thought I was, but it's what Jesus and what his word says about me. And when I began to understand who I was in Christ, you know what? My self-esteem began to change. My confidence was not in Mike Mazingo. My confidence was in Christ. And so as we begin to understand who we are in Christ, it changes things. It says it is when we doubt our own value and worth that we need to accumulate stuff to try to make us feel okay. What happens sometimes is when we begin to doubt our own value and worth, we think, well, if I had this big house, I'd feel better about myself. If I had this nice car, I would feel better about myself. If I had that big phone that she's got, I'd feel better about myself. You know, and all of a sudden, we feel like we've got this need. If I had that, I'd feel pretty good. And here's the thing, it doesn't matter what we get. There'll always be something else that we're trying to find to fill that need, that void. And hey, I need to feel like I've accomplished. I need to feel like I have arrived. I have been successful. I have moved up. And so what we do is we want these things to make us feel better about ourselves. And the thing is none of those will actually fulfill the need that we have. It says, how can we learn to love ourselves? And I think one of the things that we could walk away with today is learning how to love ourselves. And let me just say this. I think this is important too. You know, there's things that we have to work through moment by moment, moment by moment, moment by moment. If you've ever battled an addiction, it's not like, hey, there's a one-time decision. Everything's okay. Sometimes it's moment by moment, moment by moment, moment by moment. If you've ever had a great loss, it's moment by moment sometimes. And I think for some of us in this room, is learning to love ourselves is going to have to be a moment by moment, making that decision to understand who we are in Christ. Because Satan knows it may be the weakness or the area that you struggle in, and he's going to attack it and attack it and attack it and attack it. How can we learn to love ourselves? Number one is by focusing on the truth of God's word. For me, that's what set me free. And the more that I would focus on the Word of God, the more that I would focus on the teachings of Christ, and I would see the value that he put on lives. I would see the value that he would put on a prostitute. I see the value that he would put on a tax collector for back in that day who was considered some of the outcasts. I would see the value that he put on the Samaritan. And you got to understand the story of the Samaritan. We talked about a couple of weeks ago. Jesus even called him the despised Samaritan. Because the despised Samaritan to the Israelite, or to the guy, to the Jews was, you know what, why would you even talk about them? See, they wouldn't even walk through that area. They would go around if they had to. They would walk around Samaria to avoid having to even deal with them because they were so despised. So Jesus would tell the story of the Good Samaritan to talk about how the love is really the answer. It's not who you are, but it's whose you are. Man, it's whenever Christ lives in you. It's whenever the love of God is inside of you. It changes everything. And so whenever we focus on the truth of God's Word, we begin to understand, you know what? God loves me. God loves me. And He has a place for me. And not that He just wants me to kind of slide in. And I'm gonna sit down with a low life. It says He has a table for me. And He'll let me come and sit and dine with Him. In Revelation, it says He knocks at the door of our heart. And if we will invite Him in, He will come in and He will sit down and He will dine with us. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords wants to spend time with me. And when you can get your mind around that, you know what? God loves me. He cares about me. He wants a relationship with me. And so focusing on the truth of God's Word. And the second thing is by allowing God to change the way we think. See, sometimes we get programmed. We always hear stories about people being brainwashed and programmed. You hear even, it's in the news all the time now, about where ISIS is, you know, getting some of these young people and how they get brainwashed and how they get them to do this and get them to do that. And what it is you try to train them over and over to think a certain way. And so our minds can be warped. Our minds can be messed up. Our minds can be jacked up. But the Bible says that God can change our minds. He can heal our minds. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2 here. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Let the kind that He will find acceptable." And this is truly the way to worship Him. We talked about worshiping Him earlier. If you really want to worship God, it's not just the songs that you sing. It's not how pretty you sing. It's how you live your life. And so that's what Paul is saying there. So number 2, verse 2. It says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." So let God change the way you think. And so if you've been thinking all this time, all your life, and you might be 18, you might be 28, you might be 58, you might be 78, but all your life you have thought a certain way, maybe it's time to let God's Word begin to change the way you think about yourself. Maybe instead of seeing yourself as a nobody, as not good enough, not smart enough, not athletic enough, not this, not that, all these nots, that all of a sudden you begin to see yourself as a creation of God. And if you've accepted Christ, you begin to see yourself as a child of God. And you see yourself as a co-heir with Christ. And you see yourself as one who He loves and that He was willing to send His Son to purchase. And so it's time to change the way we think by allowing God to change the way we think. And the last statement here says we must love ourselves before we can truly love others. Sometimes that's tough. You've been told your whole life lies by yourself. Maybe you've told yourself, you've lied to yourself all these years. It's hard to change the way you've been doing things. You know, oftentimes we see people want to change a habit. You know, I think there's, I can't remember how many days it is now, 21 days or something. You have to do something 21 days before it becomes a habit. Maybe 28. But we've done certain things the same way for so long, we get to the point we don't even know why we started doing that, but it became a habit. What if you developed a good habit of reading God's Word and letting God's Word change your mind daily, moment by moment, day by day? Put down a couple of steps here. My next step today is to choose to believe God's Word and know that God loves me. I hope if you don't get anything else from today, that when you walk out of here today, you know that God loves you. I hope you understand that. No matter who you are, no matter what you're living in, no matter what kind of decisions you've been making up until this point, but I hope you know that God loves you. I hope that you feel His love. And I hope you know that He loves you enough that He would send His Son Jesus to come here to pay the price for your sins. That you realize how much He loved you. The second thing there is maybe to memorize Matthew 7:12. It's called the Golden Rule. It's a great passage to memorize. And think about how you treat the people around you. Because the way that you treat the people around you is how you're going to be treated. And then the last one there, it says to love others as I love myself. And I think the first and most important thing is to begin today to say, you know what? God, I want to love me. I want to love me but the way that You love me, in a healthy way. Not to the point of where I'm prideful or egotistical or haughty. But God, I want to be humble and meek. I want to be like Jesus was. And He loved who He was. He realized that He was the Messiah. He was Your Son. He was your vessel. And God, I want to love like that. And so I want to just give you an opportunity to respond to whatever God has spoken to your heart this morning. But just to understand how important these great commandments are. One, like I said, is we're to love God with everything that's in His home, love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. But the second one is to love our neighbor as ourself. And like I said, I don't feel like we can love our neighbor completely until we learn to love ourselves. I could do a whole another message just on some ways that we could show love to our neighbor. There's so many ways that we could serve. And love is not just an emotion. I know last week, you know, it was all about, you know, Valentine's Day, and it was about the warm fuzzies and all the kind, you know. But love is more than a warm fuzzies. More than just an emotion. Love is a commitment. It's a decision. It is action. It is time. It is serving. It is caring. It is hurting when someone else hurts. It's being there for them. It's patient. It's kind. It keeps no record of wrongs, but celebrates when others do well. Let me ask you, do you love? And I guess the main question I would ask you today is, do you love yourself? Let's pray. Do you love yourself? You're created in the image of God. We're told to love God with everything that's in us. We're told to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And maybe the greatest change that needs to take place in your life today is that you begin to love yourself the way that God loves you. And then you begin to love the people around you, your neighbor, the way that you love yourself. And so I want to just give you an opportunity to respond. The prayer team will be here at the front. And there'll be someone here that can pray with you if need be. But more than anything, I think sometimes we just need to go get on our knees. We just need to leave some things at the altar. We just need to confess some things to God. Can you do that where you're sitting? Absolutely. But sometimes there is a sense of release, and there's a sense of marking that moment when we walk an aisle or we go to an altar. Throughout Scripture, we see where there was an altar built and worship took place. An altar built and a sacrifice given. So the sacrifice that God asks for you from you today is your life. Not that you bleed out, but that you become a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. So I want to just ask everyone, if you would, just to stand, and you respond as the Holy Spirit leads you to respond. Like I said, the prayer team's here. The altar is here. And if you don't love yourself, you're never going to be able to love God the way He intends. You're never going to be able to love others the way that He has called us to love them. And so maybe the main thing, like I said again, is for you to come and say, God, I confess to you. God, I have hated me. I have hated who I am. And God, in doing that, I have hated the image that you have created. God, I want to ask you to forgive me. Just respond as the Holy Spirit leads. The altar is open. Father, thank you for your love for us. God, thank you. The message of the gospel is love. Father, you call us to love others. You teach us to love you. God, I pray for every one of us in this room, myself included. Father, help me to fall in love with you more and more as I move through this week. God, help me to show you my affections and my love for you through my praise and through my life, through my worship. God, don't let just today be just a service that we attend and we walk away unchanged, maybe unscathed spiritually. God, help us to walk out of here, God, with a deep sense of awe as we think about the great commandments. God, we would love you with every ounce of our fiber. God, with every second of our day. God, with every moment that we experience. God, we would have that strong love for you, and it would be so evident, so clear to the people around us. God, that we realize that you made us, you shaped us, you formed us, you created us and spoke us into existence. God, that you have saved us. For those of us in this room that you have saved, God, I thank you for the salvation that we have experienced. And that as believers, as followers of Christ, that we're to model what Jesus did, that love for people no matter where they are in life, that we're to love them. And we're to love them with the love of God. We're to care for them and even serve them. So God, I thank you that you love us, and I thank you that you trust us enough to carry this message of love to this world. God, I pray that if there's anybody in this room that does not know you personally, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. I pray that today would be the day that they put their hope, their trust, their faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for salvation. Father, let this be the day that they choose to accept the greatest gift this world has ever seen, the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Let them experience your love for the very first time. And God, let them walk out of here with the peace that passes understanding, like Miss Pauline shared. God, like we got to celebrate yesterday. And Father, I pray that you would just fill them with your power and with your presence and with your love. God, let us be a people of love. Not just in talk, but in action and deed, in the way we live.